If you would like to read with me, I'll be reading from Jonah, the first chapter, and the first three verses. Jonah 1, 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord.
I guess you could say that Jonah was an unwilling hero. And I say unwilling because it surely looks like he didn't try to be one. You know, sometimes there exists a dichotomy between our will and the will of God in our lives, between what we want to become and what God wants us to be. And this is the case of Jonah. He was a man who was so desperate to see his will done that he was willing to do just the opposite of what God had asked him to do. Is it possible that the spirit of Jonah dwells within each of us? Is it possible for us to make the necessary changes in our lives for God, or do we continue to be Jonah? You know, God expects us, as we all know, to obey His commands. And if we look in the very beginning of the book of Jonah, the account begins with God commanding to Jonah to go to Nineveh and to preach. Now, verse 1 says, Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. The Hebrew word for word is Torah. This is what the Jewish religion calls the first five books of the Old Testament, or the Bible and the Ten Commandments. To the Hebrew, it means instruction. So when a Hebrew would read this verse, it would read like this, The instruction of the Lord came to Jonah. So Jonah's day begins with God giving him instructions. But the real story in this is how Jonah responds to those instructions. But then I guess you could say this is the story of our lives, isn't it? See, God commanded. God has spoken to us about what He wants us to do through this. He has given us some instructions. But how are we going to respond to those instructions? Will we respond or will we run from His instructions, His word? Why are we so dead set on running from the call of God? In 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, we learn that Jonah lived in a place called Gathaphar. There's a town in Galilee. Nineveh was northeast of this town, but Jonah heads southwest to Joppa, where he catches that boat to Tarshish. Jonah goes in the opposite direction to where God has instructed him to go. In Jonah's day, that trip to Tarshish would probably take almost a year to travel, that distance between Joppa and Tarshish. That is Palestine and what we know today as Spain. And so we can see from this that Jonah was very serious about running away from the call of God. He probably spent most of his life savings on that ticket. Why does he do this? I have no idea. Why do we fail to respond to God's instructions? Could it be that we're afraid that we might fail? And if we are afraid of failing, we do nothing, or we run from doing right. Some do not obey because they're afraid they can't live the perfect life. Nobody can. But our becoming a Christian doesn't mean that we have to be perfect by our own efforts. It just means that the blood of Christ makes us perfect. There's not once in the act of baptism, but every day as we strive to walk in the light, we attain and maintain that perfection. These verses prove it. Romans 8, verse 1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In 1 John 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, continues to purify and cleanse us from all sins. In Galatians 3, verse 27, for as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You see, when God looks at believers, baptized believers, those walking in the light, God doesn't see our ugly sins. He doesn't see our puny attempts of righteousness. God sees the righteousness, the perfectness of his Son. So Jesus' perfection becomes our perfection as long as we continue to walk in the light. We're going to fail. And we're going to sin again and again and again. We're going to make more mistakes, and so we're going to make some serious mistakes. But the blood of Christ, as 1 John 1, verse 7, purifies us from all sins. Our salvation is not dependent on us living perfect lives. It is dependent on the blood of Christ cleansing us when we fail. Maybe we don't respond to God because we don't have enough faith in his promises. Do we believe with all our heart that sins are forgiven in the act of New Testament baptism? Do we think that maybe our sins are too bad, too ugly, too hideous to be forgiven? Well, they're not. Picture Peter standing at the temple on that great day preaching his sermon. The multitude of people, some say probably numbering at least a million. And there was people from all over the world coming for that great day of Pentecost to worship God. Jews from all over the world. And many in that crowd are responsible for the death of Christ. When they asked Peter, what do they need to do to be saved? Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. 3,000. 3,000 of those murderers were baptized and forgiven of their sins. In Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias told Paul, who, by the way, considered himself chief among sinners. He told him to arise and be baptized and wash your sins away. What about us as the children of God? Do we believe with all our heart that God works all things out to our benefit? To our good, to our betterment? Do we believe that God will never leave us or forsake us? Do we believe that he will answer our prayers? Do we believe that he is working in us and he's strengthening us to obey his will? And if you're holding back from obeying God this morning, believe, have faith. Let your faith prompt you to complete your obedience in whatever way that may be. Or maybe perhaps like Jonah, we're prejudiced. See, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he knew that God's love and mercy and grace would be bestowed upon the Ninevites, especially if they repented. Jonah was a Jew, an Israelite. The Ninevites were Assyrians. They were the enemy. They were immoral. They were vile. They were idol worshipers. They were rebellious. They were that ungodly people that threatened Israel. The last thing that Jonah would want to do would be to assist God in blessing them. Jonah probably thought that maybe God would strike them dead with a plague. But to call on him to go to them so they would repent and then bless them for that repentance? Think about maybe what great things we can accomplish for God if we got rid of our prejudices. Think maybe we might be a little more loving. Maybe we would serve more. Maybe our fellowship would be more welcoming, or maybe we would be more forgiving, more patient, more understanding. We need to continue to remember each and every day that while we were yet sinners, aliens, unloving, unlovable, that Jesus died for us. You know, Jonah didn't want to go down in history as the prophet that saved Nineveh, the enemy. The only other time that Jonah is mentioned in the Bible is 2 Kings verse 14. And he prophesied for Israel, and his message was one of expansion of the kingdom and financial blessings for Israel. And as a result of that message, Jonah was probably hoisted up on the shoulders and considered a hero. A man who, because of his popular message, became very popular among the people. But what do you think will happen when the word gets out that Jonah goes to Nineveh and preaches to them? It appears, at least on the surface, that Jonah is more concerned about his reputation than the will of God. Pride. Pride. No wonder it's on God's lists of serious sins. As we go about each day this week, ponder on this just for a bit. Think about it. Let it come back into your mind. What is it that we are not doing in response to God's instructions because of our own pride? Now, God expects us to live out our confession. Look in verse 9, Jonah chapter 1. When the storm is raging and the sailors, they're searching for answers as to why their gods might be bringing this storm on them, Jonah makes a confession because they approached him, but why aren't you praying to your gods? Jonah says, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. Ironic, isn't it? Jonah would make this confession under these circumstances. He makes this confession, yet he's running away. He's running away from God. Does his confession match his behavior? Certainly not. Jonah confesses God all the while he sails on the ship of disobedience. But But are we living out our confession? We all know more than we practice. We all believe more than we are becoming. We all have the head knowledge. Sometimes it just fails to filter down to our will. Mental assent to Christ is not enough. We must have the will to put our faith into practice and to have complete obedience. Nineveh doesn't just represent a people God has mercy on. It represents any clear revelation from God on our lives. Our Nineveh is asking, is God asking us through His Word to change our behavior in some way? Our Nineveh, is God requiring us to change our dreams, our goals, our priorities, our plans, and our personal agenda? Our Nineveh, is God prompting us to live a life conforming to the life of Christ? Our Nineveh becomes anything we will not do in complete obedience to His will through the Word. Each of us has our own Nineveh, don't we? And each of us has our own Tarshish. Our Tarshish is any place that we can run and hide from God. It's any road that leads us away from God. What is our Tarshish? Maybe our Nineveh is giving. And we know we ought to give more, but we're afraid that if we do, there's not going to be enough left for our own selfish desires. So selfishness becomes our Tarshish. Maybe our Tarshish is a relationship with someone who pulls us away from God. We know we need to cut that relationship off, but we're afraid of the consequences. Maybe our Nineveh is a need to ask or grant forgiveness to another, but our Tarshish is telling us that they haven't asked or they don't deserve it. Some are running from obeying the gospel. Some in the church are running from doing what God wants us to do, from what God wants us to become. So we're hiding in the city of apathy, indifference, and carelessness. But Jonah's challenge to us is clear. Stop running and yield to God's instruction. Deciding against God's will does not take us out of God's reach. In verse 4 of Jonah chapter 1 says, "But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up." You know, Jonah may have gotten on that ship and left Joppa, thinking that he was finished with God. Friends, God was not finished with Jonah. Once Jonah was on the ship, God sent a storm into his life. God was calling Jonah's name. Clear up a misunderstanding. First, not every storm in our lives is caused by God, okay? God may not be the originator of our storms, but He can use it for our benefit. Secondly, Some storms are caused by God. Some storms are a manifestation of the love and the pursuit of God, just like this storm that Jonah is in the middle of. Friends, God does not grant peace to us when we are on that ship of disobedience. Or in other words, sailing for the port of Tarshish. God sometimes uses storms to bring us back to His will and His way. So if we're on that ship of Tarshish, don't ask for God's peace while running away from His will, because it isn't going to happen. Don't ask the author of the storm to take away the storm when the purpose of the storm has yet to be fulfilled, namely our repentance. We like to use Romans 8, verse 31. It's a great verse that uplifts us. If God is for us, who can be against us? But our text this morning teaches us that sometimes God is against us because He is for us. Deciding against God does not remove us from His reach. And we can rest assured that at this very moment, God is calling our name from His word. Maybe He's calling us from a storm. But how will we respond to His instructions? If you want to calm the sea in your life and you're not a Christian, there's one way to do it. This morning you can fulfill that faith. You're here, you have faith. You're here, you believe, or you wouldn't be here. Don't continue to run. Get off that ship to Tarshish this morning. Repent and confess and be immersed in that New Testament baptism for the remission of your sins. The storms in your life, while they may not completely disappear, you will have the peace which passes all understanding. Maybe you are a child of God, but maybe you're still on that ship of disobedience headed to Tarshish. Through your repentance, God has promised and will forgive you those sins. If anyone has a need this morning, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.